This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the pastor here at Radio Mission, First Baptist Church of Algiers. We are located at 501 Opelousas Avenue in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the old Voice of Truth broadcast goes out over this nation every Sunday over many, many stations, where the late Pastor L.R. Shelton was a pastor and the founder of this work. And we picked up this little broadcast, the old Trailblazer, where he originated back there many, many years ago. And we have a few of the tapes that he made. If you'd like to have them, you write me. I'll quote you a price on them. You hear the old, old Trailblazer as he rode out there in the hills of North Louisiana, fighting the elements and the mosquitoes, and they went to the logging camps and went to the those places, little country churches, and had the sound effects of those things. It's quite interesting. But this is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis now, going on day by day. We're bringing you a series of studies. Actually, that he wrote many years, 50 years ago, notes that he made on Revelation, and we're looking at those as our copy. And if you would, write me and let me know. I'll be glad to put you on our mailing list. But we're looking now, we saw in our last study the opening of the second seal. We saw the red horse there. But today, at this time, we want to move on to the breaking of the third seal. We find here that the red rider is followed by a rider on a black steed, a black horse. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four creatures say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The sword is always followed by famine. There's always an order in which the four judgments come that fall upon rebellious man. The red horse rider took peace from the earth. And I wonder what these pacifists and do-gooders will do and say who have been crying, "Peace, peace," when the world reaches a stage where there is no peace. No one will be able to produce better days. The following is the falling, then falling the sword is famine. The old prophet Haggai saw these days, and I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. That's Haggai 1:11. You may raise this question, how do you know that black stands for famine? Well, turn with me to Lamentations 5:10. Listen to God's word. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Black and famine are always associated together in the scriptures. Then let's turn to Lamentations 4 and 8 and 9. Their visage is blacker than coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered and it is become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger, for these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. Then Jeremiah 14:1-2. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, they are black unto the ground. The old prophet Jeremiah saith, those who are killed with the sword are blessed more than those who die by the famine. First comes the sword, war, bloodshed, carnage, then hunger, perishing away and dying for the want of food. The old world has seen some terrible famine in the past, but the days ahead of us will be the most terrible and awful days this world has ever seen. You talk about food shortages, there will be such a shortage of food upon the earth during this tribulation period. John said, until he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, which indicates rationing to the nth degree. Then John says, I heard a voice say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. Yes, and they will eat by weight, and they will drink by measure, according to Ezekiel 4:10-11. And the meat, and thy meat which thou shalt eat, shall be by weight, and thou shalt drink also water by measure. And then in Leviticus 26:26, Moses, speaking of these latter days, said, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. My friend, let's remember one thing. This judgment comes by the hand of God. It comes because this world has rejected God's Son. The world has said, come, this is the heir. Let us kill him, that he may not rule over us. Remember, friend, it is Christ or hell. It is Christ or judgment. Which? Do you know how great this famine will be? A measure of wheat for a penny. 3 measures of barley for a penny. It will take a day's wage to buy 1 quart of wheat, the daily ration of a slave. You'll not be able to get that unless you carry the mark of the beast in your hand or your forehead, because Revelation 13 says, no man can buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. You talk about world control, it will be under the dictatorship of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. One of the saddest thoughts of all about this famine is there will be no relief. No relief, my friend. There will be no relief, and judgment will continue to be executed upon a Christ-rejecting world. But thank God, this judgment won't fall upon God's church, the church of God's elect, because the church will have been taken out. And I praise the Lord for his marvelous grace in saving the old trailblazer, the wretched sinner that I am, for I know that tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or peril or sword shall not separate me from the love of Christ. But in all these things, I will be more than conqueror through him that loved me. That's the shelter of my soul. And my friend, I can stand in the shadow of the cross, under the blood shelter of Calvary, and defy all my sins to destroy me. You may raise a question, how and why can you be so sure? And my answer is, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for us, according to Romans 8:34. I often make this statement here in my pulpit, that the old trailblazer, the pastor here, there's not one past sin, not one future sin, not one present sin registered or recorded in heaven against me, because they're all under the blood. Like the little boy said in a Sunday school class early one Sunday morning, the teacher, little young teacher, was in there questioning his boys, young boys, 10, 11-year-old boys, and he thought maybe he could catch them on something. And he said, okay, boys, what is it that God can't see? He'd been talking about how God knew everything and was everywhere. And he said, now, what is it that God can't see? And they all looked around a little bit. And way back in the back, little scrawny-looking little boy raised his little old hand up. And the teacher said, what is it, Johnny? He said, teacher, the Lord can't see my sins. He can't see my sins. They're under the blood. Broke up the class. Broke up the teacher, all wept for joy, because that little young man, he said, teacher, he can't see my sins. And the old trailblazer, we all just a kid at heart, aren't we? We're just a kid at heart. He can't see my sins either, teacher. Congregation, he can't see my sins. Radio audience, he can't see my sins. They're underneath the blood. Underneath the blood, we sing that song here. A little chorus that we sing, under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe though the ages roll. Do you have that hope? Can the old trailblazer just be honest with you? Do you have that hope? We can learn all we want to learn, absorb all we want to absorb about the revelation, about the Antichrist, about the perilous times that will come. And it's good to know those things. But the greatest thing is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Can you lay down at night? Lay on your bed. Maybe a cool, clean, refreshing bed. Maybe a bench in the park somewhere. And look up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. Can you do that? If you can't, I wouldn't rest. If you can't, I wouldn't rest. Believer, do you do that? I ask my folks here, my congregation. I have a gracious congregation. They love me. Many of them know the Lord. Some don't. But I asked them, I said, when you wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor like I do, whether it be carpet or concrete or whatever. Sit there a moment on the side of your bed and give the Lord thanks for first for the night's rest, then for waking you up breathing. Did you know we can thank the Lord in all things? Can you know that? We can thank the Lord for all things. He says, forget not all of His benefits. The air that you're taking into your lungs right at this moment. You can thank the Lord for that. The blood that's circulating through your veins, pumping. Did you ever listen to your own heartbeat? Put your hand under your arm or there on your wrist and listen to your heartbeat. Oh, I don't know how many times a day it beats, but it beats a lot. It's pumping that life blood. If it stops beating for 3 beats, you'll be in eternity. Did you know that? You can thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for keeping my old heart. Folks call it a ticker. No, it's not a ticker. It's a heart. It's a gracious organ. The Lord made it to pump the blood into your body, into your brains, to where your mind can concentrate and think, into your bones and joints, to where you can have strength to get up and go forth day by day. Oh, my friend. And then surely people do things to their bodies. All of the things that they do, the smoking and drinking and carousing around and not resting at night, it wears your body out. It's a sin, my friend. It's a sin to debilitate your own body because God gave it to you. It's a gift of God. You wouldn't take something that God gave you, and just like your children. You don't abuse your children, do you? I wouldn't abuse my heart if I were you. No, I wouldn't do that. But listen, the Lord is gracious. The old trailblazer sometimes gets kind of sentimental. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old country boy raised in the country on the strawberry patch. So green the geese followed me around, I often say. But I see the hand of the Lord on me from that day one. From the day I was born, there in that old country house where it was so cold in the winter, the water froze in the water bucket. So hot in the summer that you had to wait till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night to go in the house off the porch where you could get a good night's sleep. Had to have a skeeter bar over your bed to keep the skeeters from eating up the babies. Oh, my friend, but all those things, I'm thankful for them. Thankful that the Lord kept His hand upon me day by day and gave me parents that loved me and took care of me and made sure that we had plenty to eat and plenty to wear and that we minded, we obeyed, we said yes, sir, and no, ma'am, to everybody. Everybody, no matter what color they were, black, white, or purple, we said yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And we learned how to work. We worked on a farm. We learned how to make a living on a dirt farm. And the Lord gave us grace, gave us a little talent of my brother and myself and my sister that we, the Lord blessed us. The Lord blessed us. Oftentimes we don't thank Him enough, but I want to thank Him at this time. I ask you to thank Him. Thank the Lord. If you have a home and a family, you may not have anything, but you're breathing, aren't you? You have life. You have a breath that you can call on the Lord. I tell sinners oftentimes, all you need to do is ask the Lord, Lord, help. Lord, help. Or Lord, save me. You don't have to pray a long, flowing prayer to try to impress somebody in prayer meeting. Lord, help. Lord, save this old sinner. He'll save you. He'll save you. Give you grace. I wish I could sit down by your side and drink a cup of coffee with you. But this is the old trailblazer. Remember my mailing address, if you would. Help me with the broadcast. The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you until next time.